Good morning. I have the privilege of reading from the Lord's Word this morning. If you're sharing in the pew Bibles in front of you on the chairs, the page 525 is where you'll find this scripture this morning. We're reading from Acts 24, 1 to 27. So 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a man named Tertullus, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. "We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple, so we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him." The Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city, and they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God as these men that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin, unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. "When Lysias, the commander, comes," he said, "I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. The word of the Lord.
As I was thinking about today's message, I remembered something from my childhood that I just hadn't thought about in a long time. And it was going to our public pool, our kind of community center pool, and swimming around, like learning how to swim, and then putting on like one of those like life vest that was very rubbery, very thick. I don't know if any of you had this experience and you sort of wasn't very comfortable. You'd sort of put it on and maybe it'd be too loose or it would be like just very tight on your skin. And then going to the deep end. So my church, the pool in my town, there was like the shallow end where people could swim laps, and there was the deep end where you could go and you could climb up four or five rungs onto a diving board. You could walk out and you could dive in. Right? You could jump off the diving board. And I just had this memory of like climbing up it the first time and walking out to the end, doing this a couple times, looking at the water, knowing that I had a life vest on, but not wanting to jump in. I lacked diving board courage. So I turned around and I climbed down. Today, we're talking about a type of diving board courage. We're talking about gospel courage. Gospel means good news, and it's the good news about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection from the grave. He came back to life. But the gospel doesn't stop there because it touches each and every one of us individually. His good story becomes our good story. And so I want to talk about two types of courage today. The courage to share the gospel and the courage to believe the gospel. In some sense, they're like the same deep end of the pool, but they're just two different ways of diving in, right? We all need to take that initial leap, that initial dive into the deep end. We strap on the life vest of faith. We hold our breath and we jump in. And others of us need to invite friends, family, those on our front lines, our coworkers, to hear about him, to tell them about this story, to encourage them to come to the deep end and dive in. Even Paul needed this sort of diving board courage. Take courage, Jesus said to Paul, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you will testify about me in Rome. Paul's on his way to Rome. He went to Jerusalem. There was this mini riot. He was accused of things he didn't do. Nearly assassinated by 40 assassins. The Bible is a fascinating book. Taken to Caesarea during the middle of the night, 60 miles. And now he's facing trial for something he did not do. Stir up a riot. Desecrate the temple. Paul needs gospel courage. He needs the courage to share the gospel. And he's put in a situation that's really intimidating. He's brought before Felix. Felix was a slave who freed himself and became a very cruel man. The Roman historian Tacitus says this, "Practicing every kind of cruelty and lust, he wielded royal power with the instincts of a slave." He was a cruel man. Right? He was an unjust man. He would execute zealots, Jewish rebels immediately. He married this woman named Drusilla, who's kind of like Cruella. They were like Bonnie and Clyde in some sense. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa I, the ruler who had James executed, one of the disciples. Drusilla was married to a Syrian king at about the age of 15. That king actually got circumcised because she was Jewish. He got circumcised so that he could marry her. And then Felix sent a sorcerer to woo her and to steal her away. So she left that husband and married Felix, a Gentile. She wasn't a great gal. Bonnie and Clyde. And it's before them that Paul presents the gospel. It's before them that Paul is accused of things he didn't do. There's three charges that are brought him, that he's a troublemaker stirring up a riot. This is a political charge. He denies it. Says, I did not argue or stir up crowds. Accusers cannot prove the charges. Second charge is that he is the ringleader of the Nazarene sect. This is a political and religious charge, so it's not quite as serious. The Romans still would have thought of it as something that needed to be figured out because it was illegal under Roman law to have an unapproved sect. And what he does is connects his faith with the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I worship the God of Israel. I believe the law. I believe the prophets. And I hope in the resurrection like my accusers. But I am a follower of the way, which they call a sect. So he sort of accepts their charge, sort of reshapes it, kind of argues that it's not really a sect. It's the fulfillment of the plan all along. The third charge is that he tried to desecrate the temple, which is a religious charge, which the Romans still would have taken very seriously. He denies this. I came to Jerusalem with gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was clean and there was no disturbance. And this is like, where are my accusers? According to Roman law, the accusers were supposed to present their charges against him face to face. And they weren't there. I want you to notice something about Paul's three defenses, the three charges that are brought against him. this lawyer for the kind of the religious elite there in Jerusalem, he like totally flatters Felix. He's like, "You're most excellent ruler. You're just doing such a good job." And Paul's like, "I didn't do it. Here's the resurrection," right? The guy who's lying takes a flattering approach. And the guy who's telling the truth takes a gospel courage approach. Focuses on the resurrection. And I have the same hope in God, and these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Verse 21, "It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Paul keeps going back to the good news, that Jesus rose from the grave. Because if that is true, it does not matter what they say. Because if that is true, that changes everything. And Paul's not afraid to make it personal. All right, I just told you about their backstory, Bonnie and Clyde. Let's see what Paul says here. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, Cruella, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and scared and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." And then he leaves him in prison for 2 years. Paul makes the gospel incredibly personal. Talked about the resurrection of the wicked. That implies that there will be a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous to face God's judgment. Whew. I know when I share the gospel, I like to kind of smooth over the hard parts. I don't usually talk about the sins of the person that I'm talking to. Sometimes we may have to do what Paul said and just flat out say, "Here's the hard truth." The hard truth is that we will all face God. And if we aren't perfect like him, we will live a life separated from him for all eternity. But there's grace. Gospel means good news. We don't stop at the bad news. We say the good news too, that God offers us forgiveness and healing and hope if we'll just come to him. And see, some of us need the courage to share the gospel without watering it down, and others of us need the courage to believe the gospel, right? Felix needed courage to believe what was so hard to believe. It made him fearful, and so it was either this is true and I have to change my life, or this is fake, or this is false, and I'll just ignore it. Felix chose the second route. Eventually, Felix was deposed. He did not have a good reign. The things that he put his trust in, power, authority, riches, wealth, his wife, that all crumbled down. That all fell apart. The things that we put our trust in apart from Christ will one day all crumble. And so we need the courage to believe the gospel. The courage to come to Jesus. To say, "Calm my frightened heart, God. I believe that there is a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked, but I want to be counted as righteous." And maybe that's you. Maybe you're standing on the precipice. Right? You're on that diving board, you've climbed up those rungs, you're looking at the water and you can't see the bottom. You're afraid to jump in and you're about to turn around. And that's when you just pray this prayer. "Jesus, push me in. Jesus, please push me in. Give me that faith to believe because I don't have it." He'll do it. He'll throw you a life vest, and he'll push you in, and then he'll jump in after you. See, Jesus can give you gospel courage. For every Felix story, There are stories of people who are possessed with 1,000 demons who Jesus touched and healed. Your story can be like that, or your story can be like Felix. What we do is we come before Jesus and say, Jesus, would you give us the courage to lead others to the deep end and the courage to dive in ourselves? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. I pray that he would push us in. Lord, if there are others that we need to tell about the gospel, that we would be courageous, that we would be bold, that we'd witness, we'd share our stories, we'd share the story of Jesus, the good parts, the easy parts, the hard parts. And Lord, if there are others of us who are standing on that diving board, looking into the deep end, afraid to jump, would you push us in? Would you give us that faith? Lord, now as we go and split up into our small groups and discuss this, would you just be present in a special way, helping us to focus on Jesus, helping us to focus on the gospel, helping us to wrestle with these truths and experience God's grace this morning? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.